fastball is the very fast, but it will hardly ever be right in there.
So you were blessed with a good backstop.
And he understood me, and he knew that my change would be my end.
Mm-hmm.
So,
bread and butter.
I made pitcher of the week that day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I got
you might not have been able to lift your head or hand very high, but
I made pitcher of the week.
Oh man.
And
that's fantastic.
We had quite the time. And then when the season went on, one time we were playing, I pitched against Benson probably four times that year. We played Benson. And one time, by that time I was just newly married. So my wife was, I was working as an extern in the Wilmer Clinic and pitching for Wilmer.
Oh, okay.
And so one time we were playing Benson again. And this was towards the end of the season, kind of. Benson had good ball clubs. Howie Tucker, Ronnie Tucker, Louis Cardinal, Pugsley.
How do you remember all these things? Man, you got a memory like a steel
you
trap.
You pitch against these bastards, you know. You do remember them. Cracker McCarthy. And we were playing them. My wife didn't want to go to the game. No, she said, I'm going to just, I don't want to go today. I don't want to go today. She knew it was going to be a knockdown and drag out, you know. So, may the good Lord strike me dead if I'm lying. We won that game 2-1. And in three of the nine innings, the bases were Benson filled the bases with nobody out. Then I struck out the next three. Just like that. And I don't know what did it, but I reared back and fired, you know. And
you must have gotten some new inspiration from someplace.
And, so help me God. With the Benson filled the bases. In the ninth inning, we were ahead 2-1, and the bases were full of nobody out. And I struck out Cracker McCarthy, and I struck out Puckley, and I struck out Louis Cardinal. And I got home then, and I thought that my newly wedded wife would greet me with hands. I grabbed her and whatnot, and she pushed me away. What do you mean? Don't you know it's hard for me to be listening to the radio, bases full and nobody else? Why don't you strike them out first before you fill the bases? She gave me holy hell, you know. Where the hell do you think my heart was?
Wow.
Louis Cardinal. Did you ever hear of him?
That name seems familiar for a reason.
He caught for the Saints and he played pro ball. Anyway, the baseball season ended. I was reluctant as hell to quit. But when I became a doctor, I had quit. And time in the last with Wilmer, I was a senior med student and I was an extern there. And then at the end of that time, I had to put in my one-year internship in the old Anchor Hospital in St. Paul.
Oh, okay.
And my mother-in-law never accepted me because she was an RN, the mother to my wife. And she didn't like it because I was a farm boy and I had manure on my shoes and I talked with an accent. And she didn't want her daughter to, she wanted her daughter to marry into wealth and all that. My wife's mother was highly competitive and she couldn't buy it. You will never make it. Nobody is, who's going to go to you, she says, when you get to be a doctor? Nobody will go to you. What the hell are you talking about? She tried to break up the marriage until we got married. And we got married, and we wouldn't have gotten married. My wife was a med student in the same class.
Oh, she was.
She was a med student. And the sophomore year in med school, her tuberculosis reactivated. She had been in a sand for 17 months before. So she had to quit med school.
She had been in the what? 17 months?
In a sanitarium. No
penny. She had?
Oh, yeah.
In which sanitarium?
No Pemming, near Duluth. N-O-P-E-M-I-N-G. But anyway, this was her second trip into med school. And then the sophomore year, the same year I was in med school, her tuberculosis reactivated and she had to quit again.
Oh.
So she said, well, do you still want to marry me? Why the hell not? I said, I'm no prize package either. I'm supposed to be dead from my heart condition, and I'm still going, so while two cripples getting married, but well, there's nothing wrong with that, I said. So, Dr. O'Brien and the different doctor said, now be sure she doesn't get pregnant. Well, if she gets pregnant, her tuberculosis is going to flare up and that'll kill her. Well, 9 months and 2 days after we were married, our first baby was born.
9 months and 2 days?
9 months and 2 days. And Grandma was, her mother was, you could have at least made it a month. But anyway,
man,
we had six kids.
Wow. You said you had a son just come in from Washington. What does he do down there?
Oh, I'll tell you about him. Anyway, we had six kids. And at that time, when our baby was born, isoniazid came out. That's a drug that is highly effective against tuberculosis.
Oh,
now,
man.
My mantle was negative. And all my kids had negative mantle. But now, there was a drug out that could clear tuberculosis. So I put my wife on it right away, even though she was really, her tuberculosis was fairly well healed. But we put her on isoniazid anyway for 2 weeks. That completely cleared her to be TB. She was 45 years of age then. She went back to med school, put a year of study in at Hamlin first, pre-med.
Huh.
Went back to med school and finished up and ended up one of the first 10 in the class.
No kidding.
Damn right.
At age 45 years old, even beyond 45.
Uh-huh. And
that's
then amazing. When she graduated, other doctors wanted her in St. Paul. She was supposed to practice with them. Oh God, they all wanted her. And
where were you at this time?
I had practice going like hell. By that time I was in practice over 4 years almost. I delivered over 3,000 babies in my lifetime.
Oh, so you were an obstetrician?
I was an old GP.
Oh.
But I did my own appendectomies, my own hernias, my own gallbladders. I delivered all of my own babies, but this is the way you did it.
And what areas did you cover around Minnesota?
I built a building. First, I went about the drugstore on East Side, St. Paul. This is a story I have to tell you. I opened my office about finishing my internship. I was finishing my internship when I got a call from the son of a farmer who wouldn't give me $17.50 a month. Dr. Stein was a doctor in Pierce, Minnesota. And he called me my last day of my internship at Anchor Hospital. Dr. Stein called me, Lefty, come up here and work for me. I'll give you $500 a month. And he said, I'll be in charge and you'll be my employee. Dr. Stein, goodbye. I'm not going to work for anybody anymore. I'm going to work for me. And so he hung up. And I had other offers. Dr. Strauss in St. Paul wanted me to work with, but sign a contract. You're going to be my employee. Oh, no, I'm not going to be an employee of nobody. And my mother-in-law says, sign up with these people. Sign up with somebody. At least then your family won't starve. Well, listen to this. By that time, we bought a house, 1274 Woodbridge in St. Paul. I bought a house the last week of my internship. I bought the house and I rented an office on East Side, St. Paul. And then when I paid down $500 on the house. And then that was on a Friday night. Monday morning, I went to the First National Bank in St. Paul for the mortgage. They laughed at me. We will not honor your mortgage. You are a poor risk. Five doctors have failed in that building where you rented. We will not honor your mortgage. I said, well, I gotta have it. I already I've ordered $40,000 worth of equipment and whatnot, and I needed about $50,000 mortgage. We won't give it to you. Said, God, I gotta have it. Well, you won't get it from us. You know what I did? I picked up the phone. I called Eugene Bacato, the fellow that hired me to pitch for Lake City.
Yeah.
He said, Lefty, is that so? They wouldn't give you the mortgage? They absolutely turned me down flat. Wait a half hour and then go back. Half hour later, I went back to the First National Bank. Mitchell was on his knees. You can have all the money you want. You can have all the money you want.
Mr. McCahill had a little sway.
Oh, my, why was he so powerful?
I asked him later on. Not too long ago, before he died at 100 years of age. He invited me over to the Edina Club for dinner one night. And he and his wife, he got married me. And I asked him, gee, how did you do? Do what? Well, the bank would give me that mortgage. And I had to have it. Oh, that. Oh, I forgot to tell you, Ernie, I owned the First National Bank.
Eugene McHale owned the First National
Bank. Not only that, Eugene told me about that.
Well, what was his business in Lake City that he was able to become so prominent?
In Lake City, he paid the salaries of all the teachers. On our playground, we had a full-time manager to take care of the playground and the equipment and all that. He paid for everything. He was what you call a real true altruist. And was something else. And I asked him once, Gene, where do you get all that power? What power? He said, well, look at the bank wouldn't give me the mortgage. And you just gave McCullough a book. They gave me all the money I needed, but Gene told me, Lefty, I will never give you a handout. When I give you a handout, I am destroying you. But I'll help you help yourself. And my damn if he didn't do that. And, I got the mortgage and I built, I rented a drug, bought the drugstore. And my mother-in-law says, the kids are going to starve. We had two boys by then, and you'll never make it. Who's going to go to you? Nobody will go to you. You know why she missed the boat, like my mother-in-law? What did she forget?
She forgot character.
She forgot one stinking thing. I pitched ball for or against almost every stinking little town in the state of Minnesota. And in Wisconsin, I pitched games against Eau Claire and Wausau and
in the Northern League
and the Des Moines, Iowa and Cedar Rapids,
and from
Iowa.
I
pitched against Jamestown and the different teams, and also when Winnipeg was in the Northern League, I pitched against. So I said, you forget one thing. I was pitching ball there 10, 15 years ago. Those people remember my name, and all the young people from the all these towns that I played in, many of them were now newly married, and they were working for Minnesota Mining, Whirlpool Seegers, the three breweries in St. Paul, the Minnesota Hoist and Derrick, and my name. They knew Sawada.
Oh, man.
Hey, are you the goddamn left-handed son of a pitcher? Well, you're a doctor now. So we'll give you a chance to do it. In my practice, I was busy right away. My first patient was Marv Wason. I fought him in the Golden Glove semifinals in the Northwest Golden Glove. And he came in and won my first patient. Hey, you look familiar. You little goddamn left-handed son of a bitch. Why didn't you tell me you were left-handed? You'd never beat me.
Was this boxing?
Yeah.
The Golden Glove? Yeah.
But
Wow.
But my practice ballooned like you know.
Oh my gosh.
In 2 or 3 years' time, I had to build a building. I bought a lot of blocks up from Burton above the drugstore, and I built a building. And because I had so many obstetric patients, I couldn't have these ladies climbing the steep stairs on the ground floor over there.
So when was your building completed?
Oh, heck, I was in practice maybe about 5 years. So. And that's another thing that bothered me. There was a butcher shop in the same block where there was an old house on that corner location of that block, in the same block where my office was above the drugstore.
Yeah.
And the house was, there's a family by the name of Hitchcock living in it, but the house was really unlivable, really, it wasn't. So.